Next item on the agenda is public hearing, proposed amendments to Regulation 4 VAC pertaining to speckled trout and red drum. Gillingham.
Let me begin by giving you some background on speckled trout and exactly how this species is currently regulated. There's an Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission plan that covers Maryland through Florida. It's an old plan, 1991. It's pretty minimal in the state requirements. There's a 12-inch minimum size for both the commercial and recreational fishery. There was the requirement to collect catch and effort data. The plan specifically cites additional measures such as creel limits, catch quotas, area closures, and gear restrictions that may be needed. It also notes that the major constraint is lack of stock assessment data. There was a plan review in 2007, at which time the consensus was there was enough information, the plan was adequate for interjurisdiction management. It's key to note that all states, Maryland through Florida, have provided more protection than required by the Atlantic states. You'll note that there's no catch quota, commercial quota, or minimum bag limit, in addition to the 12-inch size limit. You can see states have adopted more restrictive measures all the way down. In some cases here, South Carolina, it's game fish status. In some cases, North Carolina, 2 years ago, did increase their size limit from 12 inches to 14 inches. But generally, every state has adopted some possession limit. Generally, 10 fish, Georgia's at 15 fish, but is sitting at a 13-inch size limit. Specifically for Virginia, we have a 14-inch size limit. It applies to the commercial and recreational fishery. A 10-fish possession limit, it applies to all rod and reel catches. So that includes commercial hook and line. It's one of those species of fish, like sheephead, like spadefish, and like red drum, that the possession limit applies to both the all hook and line fishermen. And we established a commercial quota of roughly 51,000 pounds. The reason for the interjurisdictional management is when you look at the movement of these fish, particularly in the states from South Carolina to Florida, you see they rarely leave state waters. In fact, some tagging studies strongly suggest that the fish remain associated with a specific river system within a state. It is interesting to note that there are winter fish kills, and it's not just North Carolina. It seems to be significant in some years in even states as far south as Florida. And it's a function of the habitat that these fish prefer. It's kind of a shallow water habitat, and they get trapped out there. Water temperatures drop quickly, and there's no nearby deep water to kind of buffer that rapid temperature drop. What the tagging information from Virginia and North Carolina shows is that in Virginia, significant numbers of speckled trout leave state waters in the fall and move into North Carolina waters. The fisheries, both the commercial and recreational, you can see how they prosecute themselves and they take advantage of this. In fact, the biggest portion of the commercial quota that's taken in any year is in the fall by Hall Saints and the lower western side of the bay. You also see in tagging work from North Carolina that the pattern appears to reverse itself in the spring, where fish that were tagged in North Carolina in the winter, late fall, early spring get recaptured in Virginia. To my knowledge, we don't have a speckled trout yet that was captured, tagged in Virginia, recaptured in North Carolina, and then recaptured in Virginia. We can't, but the recapture rate on speckled trout, for whatever reason, is particularly low. But it's clear, it's clear that not all fish leave Virginia waters. And it's an archaic example now, but back when we did have an American shad fishery, some fishermen, just as much to reserve their place, their good shad fishing place, would set a net out in February, certainly by March, and they would catch speckled trout. Not numbers of them typically, but it wasn't unusual. Given the water temperatures in the ocean and the bay, it strongly suggests that those fish didn't come from North Carolina at that time of year. We also routinely see speckled trout in Rudy Inlet, and that's an area where it's deeper water. It's very deep in some places because it's man-made and dredged out. But probably the most notable area are the warm water discharges in the tidewater area. There are three where we know there are speckled trout at least at times. On the James River at Surrey, had one interesting recapture there from a fisherman that had caught a large catfish, and it spewed up what was in his stomach, and one of the things that was in his stomach was a tagged speckled trout. But there are other fish that are caught in that area as well. Also, in the York River at Yorktown, there's a smaller discharge area. Like the James River at Surrey, they both discharge directly into the river, which is subject to a high flushing rate. And then the southern branch of the Elizabeth River at the Dominion Power. And that's a more unique area in that it's a little more contained. You don't have that tidal flushing. In fact, when you see the water, this is the actual hot ditch itself. This ground right here is Dominion Power. This is the warm water discharge itself. It goes into, this is a place they call the pool or the pond, which is open to it. If you look at the water, it's very tannic. And because a fair amount of that water comes from Deep Creek, the locks, and from the Dismal Swamp. So it's highly influenced by that. And you just don't have the flushing rate that you get at the James River plant and the York River plant. The point of all this is the warm water from that discharge plant impacts a good portion of the river. Portions of it are channel. I mean, just there's the Gilmerton Bridge. You've got areas that are used by shipping. So you've got a ready deep water refuge for the fish in addition to a continual source of warmed water. It's certainly not 80 degrees in all areas. In fact, it's usually not that warm even in the ditch. But a good portion, a large portion of the Elizabeth River is impacted by that. And in fact, during a winter like this, certainly, and in most winters, the fish are largely held captive within that river. The water temperatures, once you get to the mouth of the Elizabeth River and move into Hampton Roads, are such that you might as well put a barrier up there that they can't cross. It's just, it's so cold they're not going to go into it. What we see from our volunteer tagging program with regards to Elizabeth River recaptures. Now, the larger speckled trout that are tagged in the Elizabeth River in the wintertime, in fact, all the speckled trout, but I'm focusing on the larger fish, 18 inches or more, of course, are most likely to be recaptured during the winter in the Elizabeth River. I mean, that's where the effort is and the fish are captive. Later on in the year, when it's like the gates dropped and they can scatter out, we see recaptures of these fish in the James system, the York, and Mobjack Bay system. We see some that are recaptured across the bay on the eastern shore bayside and even up into Maryland waters. We haven't had any recent recaptures of these larger fish recorded outside the Chesapeake Bay system. Again, the recapture rate is low. The average for the program is about 10%. For speckled trout, we usually see 2 to 4%, something in that range. But in a year like this past year, where we tagged a record number of mostly young of the year fish, we do get a pretty good picture of able to document movement. You can't tell what they're not doing now. Issues. A mostly local winter recreational fishery has existed in this area, and this is the Elizabeth River Hot Ditch, for decades. It's no new secret. And it's not just speckled trout. That's a place where anglers will go to catch red drum, but it's not unusual to catch pompano, ladyfish. About 10 years ago, there was a 90-pound black drum that was caught in Elizabeth River Hot in the winter. But again, these fish get in there, and they're more or less captive because of the warmer water. The Elizabeth River Hot Ditch area has a reputation for trophy speckled trout, and it's grown significantly recently. It's to the point now that the four-month winter trophy fishery now accounts for the majority of citations in the year's program. This is a graph showing, and I went back 20 years. I was going to stop at 2001 because this red, 2001 is when the program adopted, in addition to a weight criteria of 5 pounds, but a 24-inch minimum size for a release citation. So it upped the number of possibilities, but in all likelihood, a lot of those 24-inch fish and greater are 5 pounds anyhow. But for the person that wants to get a release, it offered another option. But it's clear if you just follow the darker bottom bar that numbers have been up recently. But that's the overall picture, total citations. When we look at this graph, and if you look at the top, I call this a James River system versus all of the locations. The way the citation data is collected and sorted, this made the most sense for me to do as opposed to Elizabeth River, and the way anglers report where it's caught as well. The most significant fishing location where you're likely to see the larger speckled trout in a James River system and not technically inside the Elizabeth River would be the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel on both sides. But most years you don't see large numbers of the larger fish. It's typically a good spot. This bottom bar, the lavender color, to put this in perspective, this is just James River system just during December through March. So that four-month period, you can see, accounts for a huge number of the total citations for the year for the program. This maroon bar is also James River system, but it's the April through November time period. This cream-colored bar up top is the citation numbers. It's the whole rest of the state, the infamous Hunger's Creek, inside Lynn Haven, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel, all other locations for the entire year. So you can see the impact of the Elizabeth River and what a trophy fishery it is. The Tidewater Anglers Club sent a letter to the agency back in September of 2009, and they raised some concerns. And quite honestly, it was pretty off base in a lot of ways, but they were concerned that there was going to be increased gill netting in the Elizabeth River in the wintertime to take advantage of these numbers of larger speckled trout, and they were very concerned about that. This item was put on the FMAC agenda, who next met in October, as a discussion item, and it didn't meet with a whole lot of approval or sympathy at that time. But the FMAC members wanted a chance to talk to their peers, and it was then put on the next meeting, which didn't occur until January, as an action item. And at that time, the Tidewater Anglers Club proposal, as well as other options, were discussed. And there was an agreement by the committee. Even among the recreational members, there was an agreement. And it was ultimately tabled in January due to a lack of a majority vote, and the committee said, don't bring it back until you've got some more information or something new. Well, in the ensuing 9 months, the Tidewater Anglers Club has worked within the recreational community to develop a more acceptable proposal that would restrict the rod and reel fishery. in your last meeting packet, and again in this one, and also to the FMAC, we provided position statements from 7 prominent fishing clubs in the area. 6 of those clubs supported it, and 1 letter did not support it. And the reason for not supporting primarily was they didn't think there was enough data to make that decision at this time. Also, if you look at the 6 in support, they also went off on other tangents suggesting other items that should be done to manage the fishery. And the Tidewater Anglers Club, as it exists today, what is it? It would modify the possession and minimum size limit from December 1st through March 31st. It would reduce the rod and reel possession limit from 10 speckled trout to 5 speckled trout and allow only 1 fish 24 inches or greater. And again, speckled trout, like other fish, the larger the fish, the more eggs, and it's almost exponential. Even though these fish mature to vary both young and small size, roughly 12 inches, a fish at 24 inches would just, I don't want to even begin to guess the difference in egg mass, total number of eggs. And in all likelihood, what we see in other fish, such as striped bass, not only do they have a lot more eggs, the eggs tend to be individually bigger, which also offers the sac fry added survivability. So this proposal was brought before the FMAC in February, and they looked at it, and they recommended that the issue warranted a public hearing. There was certainly enough information at this time to warrant a public hearing, but they didn't unanimously support the proposal at that time. Primarily, they were concerned about the potential impact on the commercial hook and line fishermen, and they wanted to consult with their peers and requested staff determine the level of commercial hook and line landings. And that was in February, and it was assumed if you approved the public hearing, they would have an opportunity to meet prior to this meeting. When we looked at commercial hook and line landings during that time period in the Elizabeth River, there was only one person that had landings in some years. And due to confidentiality, we can't disclose what his landings were. It would have to be a group of greater than 3. However, I've attempted to dance around this issue to try to put it in perspective, and I wasn't able to share this with FMAC exactly what that might be. But this first column right here, this is commercial hook and line landings in pounds for the whole year. Just commercial hook and line. You see it's ranged since 2005, 124 pounds to just under 2,000 pounds. 2007 was a warm year. The fish lingered in the bay a little longer, which likely accounted for that. Likewise, same time period, December through March. This is all commercial gear. And you see that there's other types of commercial gear that do account for fish at these times. Primarily haul seine in a warmer year when the fish are still in the waters, bay waters, and gill net to a lesser degree. This is all year in the Elizabeth River. And this last column, this is total harvest, all gear, all water bodies. This was a bit busy month for everyone's staff. It seemed like every time we turned around, there was another meeting. And when we looked at having a FMAC meeting, realized there was just one agenda item, speckled trout. The question became, we need to have a meeting just for this item, pull everyone together, or can we do it by phone? Well, so I drew the short straw to make the phone call, and the first question was, do we need to have a meeting? Can we do it by phone? And after doing a couple, it became apparent people were comfortable with doing it on the phone, and I tried to give them each one the same amount of background information. And you'll see, got a lot of support for the Tidewater Anglers Club support, but some of it was based upon, unless it's opposed by commercial hook and line. There was one individual that didn't support, almost didn't want to support, didn't think it was even warranted for the recreational fishery, even if they requested it. But, you know, he could support that. Another individual says, it doesn't matter. Commercial hook and line is not catching them anyhow. But I'm convinced in talking individually to each one of these members, had we had a meeting, they could have come to a consensus. I mean, if you look, there was...
Pretty close now, aren't they?
Yeah. Pretty close, but I do want to emphasize that there was concern about the commercial hook and line and their impact. And, in fact, the instructions I got from the chairman was he just wanted to be certain that the commercial hook and line people were aware that this was going to apply to them, and gave me the names of two prominent commercial hook and line fishermen, one from the shore and one from the south side, Virginia Beach, and to contact them, which I did. So they're aware of it. All of that said, when staff reviews this, in all honesty, there's no compelling evidence to suggest speckled trout are in jeopardy. In fact, if you take on face value just the citation data, you say, wow, you've got a lot of large fish here. Clearly, what is it, a lot of fish or more effort? It's some of both, certainly. But you can also make a logical case that a reduction in the harvest of these fish during a period when they are confined to a relatively small area and then subject to increasing fishing pressure would be prudent for the long-run sustainability of this trophy fishery. Additionally, the reduction in possession limit from 10 to 5 fish and the allowance of only one fish 24 inches or greater from December 1st through March 31st would likely have little negative impact on the recreational fishery. With that, the staff recommends adoption of the amendments to Board of Act 2280-10 that will establish a 5 speckled trout possession limit with only one fish allowed to be 24 inches or greater for all rod and reel and hook and line caught speckled trout from December 1st through March 31st. Included the amended regulation in the back of your packet, but it's really these two sections, 20-280-30, under size limits. We would include, it should be unlawful for any person fishing with hook and line, rod and reel, or hand line to possess more than one speckled trout, 24 inches or greater, from December 1st through March 31st of any year. It under possession limits, 20-280-40, would amend the first A section to add from April 1st through March 30th of any year. That's when the 10 fish possession limit would remain in place. And add section B, it shall be unlawful for any person fishing with hook and line, rod and reel, or hand line to possess more than 5 speckled trout from December 1 through March 31st of any year. That'll attempt to answer any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Gillingham, members of the commission? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Nice briefing. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience wishes to be heard?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Sheldon Airy. I have a few comments I'd like to make. Bases on the fact that I'm on the river a lot. I'm a recreational fisherman, I recently retired, and I participate in the tagging program. And I have been the top speckled trout tagger along with my compatriot the last 2 years in a row. So we have spent
Thank you.
A lot of times on the water. A couple comments, not to in dispute of what he's saying, but some other information that I think you may be interested in. That's based on a study by Texas A&M. The majority of the trout spawning biomass is between 22 and 30 inches, and a younger female trout releases around 100,000 eggs a year compared to a mature female trout, which releases over 1 million eggs a year. That means that the mature trout releases more than 10 times the eggs of a smaller trout. So catching and releasing these more mature trout over 24 inches would increase the quality and quantity of the trout throughout the bay system tenfold and provide justification for the slot limit approaches. Why we put that in there. A similar Texas A&M study showed an overall year-round 76% survival rate on released speckled trout. However, releases in the colder months have a proportionally higher survival rate. There's been some concern about if we release some of these fish that are 23, 24 inches, that they may die. Although the Elizabeth River speckled trout, although the speckled trout population in Virginia is cyclical, angling pressure in Elizabeth River is increasing and the harvest associated with recreational fishing is increasing proportionally. Using publicly available citation data, you saw some of it shown on that slide, publicly available for the Elizabeth River only, the cold water bound specks during the last 10 years, it can be seen that during the December through March period that this proposal covers, the number of speckled trout citations has risen from a range of 23 to 205 during this four-month period from 2000 to 2007 to a range of 382 to 423 from 2008 to 2010. So there's a lot of pressure increasing. Reported commercial fishery for speckled trout in the Elizabeth River from 2005 to 2009 runs from a reported low of 423 pounds in 2006 to a reported high of 1,077 pounds in 2008, so it's not a significant fishery from their perspective, I would say. The Elizabeth River fishery in particular is a world-class fishery that brings anglers from out of state in increasing numbers each winter. My own personal observations have shown there are anglers from North Carolina, Maryland, and West Virginia routinely fishing the river throughout the cold weather season. Action now will help preserve this fishery for our kids. Most years, some speckled trout tagged in the lower bay, the Piankatank River to Lynn Haven and the Rudy Inlet, are shown to have migrated during fall winter period to the Yorktown Power Plant and the Elizabeth River hot ditch areas, as opposed to all recaptures of such fish showing movement out of the lower bay to North Carolina waters. So we have a resident population staying in the winter in Virginia waters. The tagging program is also showing both seasonal fall movement of lower bay specks to the power plant areas, as well as patterns of overwintering retention of all specks in the ER in such areas. That's my comments.
Thank you very much. Any questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else wish to be heard? Good afternoon.
Craig Page. I run charter boat Page 2 Charters out of Lynn Haven, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to fish here for over 40 years. And I've been fishing the Elizabeth River area for 30 years. And I'm in support of reducing the numbers. Basically, it's, you know, the thing about the buffalo, there was millions of those, and now we know how many of those are. And also the gray trout. You know, I was fortunate enough to be here during the gray trout problem. And, you know, the heydays of the gray trout, now look what we have. I catch three trout all year if I'm lucky. And the speckled trout fishing the last three or four years has probably been the best, without a shadow of a doubt, the best that I have ever seen in my lifetime. And I don't want to wait till we have a problem to start reducing the numbers of fish. And I think that Elizabeth River area, like I said, it's a world-class fishery there. And I'm concerned with the amount of people that I have seen in the last few years, like he says, coming in from out of state. I used to go in there 15, 20 years ago, and if I seen one or two boats all day, that was a busy day. And now I go in there and I see 30 or 40 people, you know, catching them. And it was a shame. I went in there 2 years ago and I saw them in the cove and they were catching these big speckled trout and they were keeping 30 and 40 and high-fiving. I just cringed. I do not have any problem with keeping a fish or two or keeping five fish. Now, bear in mind, what he's asking for is one fish over 24. So if you catch 22, 23-inch fish, that's nice. You can keep five of those. And you got you and two of your buddies, and you catch 15 fish, that's a nice speckled trout haul. So I am in support of five fish, one being over 24. I think everybody should be in a position that if you catch a trophy fish, that you should be able to take him home and keep him. You know, catch an 8-pound fish, you want to put him on the wall, it's a fish of a lifetime. There's nothing to say that you can't go back the next day and catch another fish over 24 inches. But I think if we wait too long on this, I think we may have a problem in the future. And bear in mind, it's only from December 1st through the 31st of March, which is the wintering months. So October, November, Lynn Haven, Rudy Inlet, it's not going to be affected at all. So it's just for that one body of water is what we're asking for, to protect those fish before we have a problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Page. Anyone else? Seeing none of the matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Lane.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's apparent that we have a proposal by staff that meets the approval of just about everyone, almost unanimous. I don't think there's any question about that. People agree with this idea. Therefore, I move that we amend the regulation that to establish a 5 speckled trout possession limit with only one of the 5 fish allowed to be 24 inches or greater. For all rod and reel and hook and line caught speckled trout from December 1 through March 31.
You're seconded the motion, seconded by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Mr. Robbins?
I just wanted to say that I concur with staff's assessment of this. I think, as Mr. Page points out, this has evolved into a world-class fishery. There's obviously an increase in interest and effort in it, and while the fish are spatially concentrated at that time of year, I think they are particularly susceptible to exploitation, and I think it is prudent to go ahead and try to limit mortality in that fishery. So I think this is a good
thing. Thank you, Mr. Robbins. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Lewis.